people like up to me. They look up to me. I got fake people showing fake.
This is Chris France of Tom Tom Club, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at wgxc.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org/donate now.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Art Omai in Kent, New York. Open daily from dawn until dusk. Art Omai Sculpture and Architecture Park presents the work of contemporary artists and architects across 120 acres of field and forest. Now accepting advance registrations for visits on weekends and select holidays. Information at artomai.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of the Rodney Shop in Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Georgia, and I'm from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate.
Bookish.
Things.
And we're usually joined by some friends, but today we're our own friends. Our own only friends today. But good thing, we can talk about books forever.
Yahoo!
And bookish
Imagine
things.
Imagine if we just talked about how great Old Man in the Sea is and then made Amelia watch this.
I still haven't read it, and I still want to. Based on what I know of it, I think I might like it.
I would not want to read that. It does seem like a really boring.
I think it might be okay. I don't know. I don't mind a short read that doesn't have too much going on, as long as it's short. So we'll see. I'm going to try at some point. So before we dive into talking about some books, Georgia and I were both on the same event last week. I think it was last week.
Yeah.
With
last week.
Two of my favorite authors and illustrators. But I know at least one of your favorites. I don't know if you've read Vera Broskull.
I've not read Vera Broskull, but I am going to because she is awesome. And Leon, I've heard her name so many times in the live stream that I finally can get her name right. Leon. I
think.
Can't believe I... Okay, so Lee Wynn Pham, he is my favorite illustrator. of all time.
Yeah. And we watched a video conversation or virtual conversation with Lee Wen Pham and Vera Brosgel, who has a new book coming out, or that came out this week actually, called Memory Jars. And so they talked about, mostly about the new book, and they read it to us, which was fun. It was like story hour.
Yeah.
For slightly bigger kids. And although there may have been little kids on there too. But then they did some drawing. They had like a, because it's about putting things in jars that aren't necessarily things you normally put in jars.
They showed jars. I loved how Leon was just like, I'm showing you cute little balls of my books, and you're showing me teeth and yeast.
Oh, in her jars. Yeah, they all had collections of things in jars.
I like Leon's because I think those are really fun, but I kind of like Vera's a little more because they're really spunky and funny. Mm-hmm. Like, she has all of the teeth she's ever lost in a jar, which...
That's wild.
But I do that too because when I was little, I was scared of the tooth fairy.
Uh-huh.
And so I have just all my teeth in my special things chest, the bracelet around them.
What if someday the tooth fairy finds them and takes them all?
Oh, evil fairy.
Evil fairies. I know at one point in my childhood home, there were some of my teeth in a drawer, but then my parents like renovated my bedroom, so it's not my bedroom anymore. Like, it doesn't look like it anymore. And I don't know what happened to the teeth. I assume they threw them out, but what if my teeth are just somewhere in their house? It's so weird.
That's a little worrisome.
But all the rest of my teeth are in my mouth.
So I have like all 16 of the teeth that I've lost in a chest. Like with a bracelet around them.
Just in case you ever need them.
No, when I was little, I was scared of the tooth fairy. I just haven't gave them to the tooth fairies.
Is your little sister scared of the tooth fairy?
No, she just hasn't lost teeth yet.
Maybe you can lend her some someday and you can just get part of the cut. Like when she loses her first teeth, you can just donate your teeth through her, or not donate, but sell them through her to the tooth fairy.
I don't know. I'm probably just going to keep them in that chest. Okay. Because now I have 16 adult teeth. I've lost a lot more teeth than most kids my age. 16.
I've lost less teeth than most people my age, I think. I have one baby tooth still that I will have until it rots and falls out of my mouth. Which is hopefully never.
You feel a tooth growing behind it.
I don't. So that's why I have a baby tooth, is because there was no adult tooth. So it's just there. There was nothing to push it out. I don't know. So I have one little
tooth. You know what's great?
What?
When I got cavities, I had two on these two adult teeth. So they did the fillings. And then the next time I went to the dentist, I didn't have to get the fillings on the two other teeth because they were baby teeth. I lost them. Like, I really was trying to get them out. And I lost them, so I didn't have to get any more fillings.
Cool.
Yeah, that was really nice for me. I was just like, ah. I mean, fillings aren't horrible. They just aren't great. Once I got a filling and my mom took me to get a cupcake right after, this giant gluten-free cupcake. The cupcake tasted a little weird with the filling, but once I was like halfway through it, I started to get my usual taste back.
Well, that's good. Well, speaking of teeth, I've been talking about teeth for a while, but I thought I could just read the description of Memory Jars since we mentioned that there's this new book out. Okay, so this is Memory Jars. A young girl finds a clever way to keep her favorite things and people close to her forever in Memory Jars from Caldecott honoree Vera Brosgel. Frida is devastated when she can't eat all the delicious blueberries she's picked. She has to wait a whole year before they're back, and she doesn't want to lose them. Then Gran reminds her that they can save blueberries in a jar as jam. So Frida begins to save all her favorite things. But it turns out that saving everything also means she can't enjoy anything. And Frida realizes that some things are best saved as memories. Yay. So that's the description. What would you save in a jar if you could save anything in a jar? That is tricky, though, because now that we know the moral of the story, that you can't enjoy things when they're in a jar if you save it there forever.
I'd probably save my mom and dad it in a jar. I wouldn't like keep them in there forever, just like during school. I take them in a little jar in my pocket. And then if anybody messes with me, I'll just be like, here's my mom and dad. Say hi, mom and dad. Say hi to these haters.
You like twist off the top. Release, yeah. Mom and dad. Get them.
Just let them hang.
Would they be like normal sized when they come out of the jar? Or would they be teeny tiny?
They'd be normal sized.
Okay.
But like, they'd come out of the jar. Like, they wouldn't be sad to be in the jar. They'd like want to. And then like after school's done, I'll just take them out. Mm. They'll sleep in their beds. They'll do everything normal.
I have something that I've had in a jar since preschool that I love. When I was in preschool, we made snow globes using little jars. So it's a tiny jar. It's maybe a little bit bigger than like a baby food jar.
Aww.
And it has a little rabbit figurine in it. And then we made snow out of paper that I think must have had some kind of like, maybe it was waxed paper or something. And so we cut it with like a hole punch to make the snow and then filled it with water and then glued on the lid. So now it's like a little snow globe. And I still have it from preschool, except some of the water is evaporated.
Oh, no.
But it still works. It's only about a centimeter has evaporated since preschool. And I'm pretty old, so.
You aren't old.
In the realm of things, if only a centimeter's gone and it goes at the same pace throughout time, that thing should still have water in it enough to be a snow globe when I move on to wherever one moves on to at the end of life. So.
Yeah. I love when you said, speaking of teeth, let's talk about memory jars.
And moving on from teeth, we're a book show, you know?
Yeah.
So do you have a book you wanted to talk about?
Actually, I want to change it up. You go first.
Okay, I can go first.
You never go first, so this time I'm first.
So I read a book that is a graphic novel adaptation of a chapter book for kids that I've actually never read, but I've always wanted to read. And then I saw that it was made into a graphic novel, and so I decided to read that instead. And it is called Turtle in Paradise. It's by Jennifer L. Holm with illustrations by Savannah Ganuchot. And who did the colors? Let me see if it says. I think it was Lark Pien. Let me see. I want to give credit to the colorist because they did a beautiful job. Let's see. Boo, boo, boo. Yeah, Lark Pien did the colors. And so the book, I don't know when Turtle in Paradise first came out, but it's been out for quite some time. And Jennifer Holm, you might know from, she does some comics. So she does the Baby Mouse series and Squish and the Sunny books. But this is a standalone. And yes, yeah, so based on the chapter book of the same name, and it's set during the Great Depression, and the main character's name is Turtle, and she's a young girl, and she lives with her mom, and her mom gets a job as a housekeeper, but the person that she works for does not like kids, so her mom sends her down to Key West to live with her aunt. So she moves down to Key West, and she gets there, and her aunt didn't realize that she was coming, so that's, you know, a good start. And she meets all of these cousins that she has. She has like all these cousins that she's never met before. And they're all boys. And so she's the only girl in this like crew of kids. And it's sort of about her time there, but they have like all sorts of different things that happen. So she's getting to know her family, finding her place in this new area. And then there's some mysterious stuff related to like pirate treasure. But it kind of is more like just about her time in Key West and her adventures with the Diaper Gang is the name the kids go by, because they have this wagon that they pull around town and they take care of babies. So like they go to their neighbor's house that has a baby and they take care of the babies. They don't get paid for it though. So it's a little confusing why they do it, but I guess they want to have a purpose and a place. But yeah, it's really fun. I like all the characters. It's interesting seeing her find her place amongst this like gaggle of boys.
It's so cool. That sounds like a great book. I will be sure to read that sometime.
Yeah, that's really pretty. I don't know. So I read it from a preview copy that I got as an ebook. And so I'm not sure exactly if this will all be in the final printing, but I assume it will be. But at the end of the book, they have a little thing from the author and the illustrator. So from the author, she talks about sort of the historic context of the book. So both like how it ties into history and the place of Key West, but also about her family history and who inspired certain characters. It's not at all a memoir, but there are some connections to her family history. And then the illustrator shows how she made the illustrations. So she did it all on Photoshop. So it was all done on a computer. And she shows like the different stages and then like kind of went at the point where she hands it off to the colorist, because then somebody else goes in and does all the colors.
That's so cool.
And I always enjoy seeing sort of the process behind comic books and graphic novels. I find it interesting, even though I have no interest in doing it myself.
I do.
Yeah, so that's Turtle in Paradise by Jennifer Holm. The illustrations by Savannah Ganesho and colors by Lark Pien. And that actually comes out in June on my birthday. So June 29th. Celebrate my birthday. That's a good book.
So I will be sharing a book that most radio listeners, if you love books, you've probably heard of this one or read this one. It's not very old, but I think of it a little bit as a classic because a lot of people have read it. Holes.
Holes. I read that a long time ago. Who's it by?
By Louis Sacker. And Holes is about a boy named Stanley who gets sent to a boys' detention center where they have to dig holes. But then he wonders, what if the headmaster is actually trying to get them to look for something? So he goes on a whole adventure to try find the truth. So here is the description. Stanley Yelnats is under a curse. A curse that began with his no-good, dirty-rotten, pig-stealing great-great-grandfather has since followed generations of Yelnatses. Now Stanley has been unjustly sent to a boys' detention center, Camp Green Lake, where the boys build character by spending all day digging holes exactly 5 feet wide and 5 feet deep. There is no lake at Camp Green Lake, but there are an awful lot of holes. It doesn't take long for Stanley to realize that Camp Green Lake isn't what it seems. Are the boys digging holes because the warden is looking for something? But what could be buried under a dried up lake? It's up to Stanley to dig up the truth.
It's been a really long time since I've read that, but I remember loving it when I did. I think I read it like 10 or 15 years ago. Can't remember. Did you read that recently?
Last summer. This summer in COVID.
And what did you like about it?
Everything.
Everything. I forget exactly what I liked about it, but I think I kind of liked the mystery and like the kids trying to like find out what was going on. And I think it's also interesting that it's like all of the characters or all of the kid characters are like kids that are deemed to be troublemakers. But then they're like trying to figure out maybe the adults are actually the troublemakers. Who knows? Well, that's cool.
It's so awkward when it's just silence. It's like,
I was trying to think what we should talk about next.
I have an idea. Okay, so Emily and I are going to do top 5 favorite video games or computer games. And this is totally unrelated. A fun little thing.
Not totally.
So,
well, I feel
not
like
totally.
Also, games also often have storylines to them. They don't always, but so that ties into our book story thing.
Yeah. So let's start 5 and go to our favorite. So 5 for me would probably be Disney Bounce. It's a Disney computer game on the Disney Now website.
What do you like about that?
Well, it's like you play Disney characters and then you do little games. There's like digital volleyball, digital snowboarding, digital long jump, and digital skiing. My favorite is snowboarding. I'm not very good at downhill skiing, and the downhill skiing is also really hard, and then the long jump, all that you have to do is just send it off in the right stroke and then boom, it's done. Number 4 for me. That one's tricky. I am going to say, oh, T-Runner. So I would recommend this for anybody who loves educational but feels like it's not really educational video iPad games. So it's where you're a runner and you run and you come against real people, though you can't talk, which is good. So you run through and it stops you off, and you have to enter as quick as you can a word in the category that they give you with the letter that they give you. And it really helps improve spelling and also fast thinking. Then number three for me. I know what number one is. I know what number two is. Number three. That one is so tough. Okay. This doesn't really count, but really any personality quiz.
We can make it count. This is our radio show. We do what we want.
Yeah.
So any personality quiz online.
Yeah. Any personality quiz. Two is Disney Emoji Blitz. It's where you like get emojis and then you like can actually use the emojis once you earn them to text. Like it uploads them to your text emojis so you can actually use like Disney emojis. So like I can use Simba emoji. Number one, the greatest of all. Dun dun! Heart Lake Rush. This is actually a Lego game and it is available on computer as a web game, but for a much better experience, more sayings and more players, I would recommend the iPad version. Ta-da! Emily, your turn.
Yeah, mine are gonna be weird. trying to decide how to do it. It's hard to rank them, so I guess I'm going to do, let me see here, two more recent games and then three like really old games. Like you'd have to find like a simulator online to play them, but they're ones that I played when I was younger. So one that I played during the pandemic, I haven't played in a while, but I played it and I got Jada, our radio co-host, got really into it for a little bit. And my nephew and my sister got really into it. It was really fun. It's called Alchemy or Little Alchemy. And I think it's actually Alchemy 2 is the name of the app, but you can play it online or you can play it on an app. And it's a game where you basically start with just like basic elements. And then using those, you start building a world.
That looks really cool. I love world building.
Yeah, it's really fun. The downside is it doesn't have every possible thing that you could want. So like sometimes you put things together that make sense that they would make something and they don't. But then sometimes you can make really fun things. I don't want to spoil anything, but sometimes, like if you have a cow and the ocean and you put them together, you get something really fun. You get a sea cow, also known as a manatee. So I spoiled one for everybody, but there's things like that that you can make happen that are really fun. So then in the four position, I'm going to put a Google game called Loteria, which is really fun. Or I guess sort of fun. I don't know. I can spend a lot of time playing it when I remember that it exists and then play it for a little while. But it's basically like bingo, but in Spanish. And it instead of having like lines that you create, each round you have different layouts. So it might be like you have to get all in a row, or it might be you need like every corner, or it might mean you need the center tiles. But it's fun because it's also like you can learn some Spanish words because there's all these different cards that are in Spanish and they say them in Spanish. So you have visual cues. So it's not just that you have to know Spanish to play, but it's a fun way to learn some words. So that's in my four position. And then for 3, 2, 1, I'm going to go with some like old school games that I remember playing as a kid. And at least some of them, you can find simulations of them online. So in the three position, I'm going to put Life and Death, which is a game that I played a lot as a kid. And I often think of it whenever somebody has appendicitis or has similar symptoms, because the game was literally you were a doctor or you were maybe a like medical intern or something, but you were somebody that was like going in to see patients. And they'd have like this close-up of the stomach and you poke them in different spots. And like based on their reaction to you poking around and their symptoms, you diagnose them with having like kidney stones or dehydration. I forget what else, but appendicitis was like the big one. So if they have the other things, you either like suggest bed rest or suggest some medication. But if they have appendicitis, you have to rush them to the OR and do surgery. And then you do an appendectomy using, in the old days, it was like a pretty rough mouse to like try to make incisions and stop bleeding. And I don't know that I ever successfully completed a surgery because you would inevitably be called out of surgery because you, like, somebody had to fill in for you to save the patient. And then you have to go back to school and like learn what you did wrong. And then at one point they used to have all these things on games, which I don't know if they do anymore, but they'd have like something that you needed to type in occasionally to show that you had the original game, because they were worried about people like just all sharing the same game, like copying the disc to their computers. And so we had this little pager. And so you needed the pager in order to like keep the game going, or else you'd get pulled out of surgery for not answering your pages. And we lost the pager at one point. So that cut my surgery career. So that's that. So don't trust me if you have the appendix burst. I should not do your surgery. Okay, so that was the three spot. Okay, so in the two spot, I'm gonna put a game called Winter Games, which was a computer game that had all these different winter sports. And, or was it that one? It was either Winter Games or World Games. All I know is that there was skiing and log rolling. The skiing one was really fun. The log rolling was pretty boring, but I talk about it all the time because it was literally just like you ran by moving two fingers.
Okay, that does seem familiar.
But I once lost a bet because based on this game, I thought that log rolling was an Olympic sport and it's not, because I had the wrong game in mind. But as you can see, I still am confused because I don't know if it was World Games or Winter Games. But I think that was the one where the skiing, like every once in a while, a Yeti would come and eat you as you're skiing down the ski slope.
Yeah, that's probably Winter Games.
And you'd often like run into trees and there were jumps and stuff like that. But yeah, it was fun. Old school sports. Okay. And then in the number one spot, another old school game that I know you can get as a simulation because my nephew got really into it a couple years back. It's called Gold Rush. And it's a story game where you're a character and you start out in Brooklyn. And I think you get a letter from your brother that he's struck gold in California. And so you decide to like pack up your bags and go find your brother and, you know, make it rich with him. But then, so you have to like figure out how to leave town, and then you have to get on a boat or get on a stagecoach and like decide if you're going through Panama or around South America. And then you have to make it there, and then you have to figure out how to get to your brother.
That looks so cool. Could you put that in the chat, please? Mm-hmm. That sounds amazing.
I also don't know, because I don't know how many of these games still exist, but it was one of those games from back in like the 80s or 90s where you had to type certain prompts to like make things happen. So you want to talk to someone, you have to be like, talk to man or say hello or like open box. Like you have to type these commands into them, look That's around. Weird. And then you have to try to figure things out.
Should we maybe go over our list one more time for our radio listeners?
Sure.
List. Okay, yeah. So number 5 is Disney Bounce. Number 4 is ABC Runner. Number 3 is Any Personality Quiz. Number 2 is Disney Emoji Blitz. And number 1 is Heartlake Crush.
And my top 5 are 5 is Little Alchemy 2. 4 is Loteria, 3 is Life and Death, 2 is either Winter Games or World Games, I will never know, and 1 is Gold Rush.
Woohoo!
So those are our suggested computer games.
Yay!
Personality quizzes are great, so.
Well, Disney Emoji Blitz technically is a computer game, neither is ABC Runner.
Live. Lead you all astray. Those were like iPad games or?
Yeah, those are.
Okay. Apps. That's fine. We'll count it.
Heartlake Rush, there's a web version and an app version. The app version is a lot better. The web version is just more like an ad for the the app is better. Obviously, they're probably just like giving you a bad experience that you can get to the good stuff. Okay. Anyways.
I think we're just about out of time for